Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out Kristen's new website, magicaljourneysvacations.com, for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
magicaljourneysvacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Green light. Everybody take a shot. Red light. Green light. Give me everything you got. Red light.
Mr. 305. Flow Rider and Lunch Money. Three Miami boys, you know what time it is.
Give me the green light, cause I'm ready to go.
Welcome to yet another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast. You can check out the webcast and the podcast at ProWrestlingCast.com, where we have a ton of great shows for you to check out. We review all kinds of great wrestling shoot videos. We talk about pay-per-views. We talk about Lucha Underground, NXT, WWE, independent wrestling, Impact Wrestling, and so much more. This is the WrestleMania 33 Picks Edition. My name is Al John Go. I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, podcaster, broadcaster, and I'm typically joined by my co-host, Mr. Stephen Anthony the Heel, commentator and wrestling historian. However, once again, we've been on hiatus for just a few weeks while we're getting some technical things worked out. Stephen's going to get a new computer, and we did not want to go on another week without posting our picks for WrestleMania 33, brought to you by the WWE Network. You can check out the WWE Network link if you haven't already subscribed, which you should, at ProWrestlingCast.com. We hope you check that out. It's going to be an interesting show, to say the least, but I tell you what we need to do. We need to go ahead and play you the promo of the week, which happens to be for something that Steven and I both agree that The Miz is having just a renaissance this year. We have a lot of veterans this year that are making a renaissance in their career. And Chris Jericho is one of them. The Hardy Boys are another great example of that. The Miz is also a great example of that. Cutting awesome promos over the course of this year. And this past week was no different, as they were spoofing, he and Maryse, his wife, were spoofing the Total Bellas with the skit, their Total Bellas Bolt Beep. And I think this was great. Miz is really coming into his own, and I think a lot of fans are fans of his work on the mic and these vignettes as well. So enjoy The Miz making fun of John Cena and Nikki Bella with Maryse, all in good fun. And we're going to get with the WrestleMania picks in just a few minutes. Enjoy. Pro Wrestling Cast promo of the week, brought to you by MagicalJourneysVacations.com. Magical Journeys Vacations, you are booking your trip with my wife, Kristen, because you want to go to Disney and the Disney resorts. You want to go to Universal Orlando and enjoy all of that which Orlando has to offer. You want to book a cruise, you want to book Adventures by Disney, any one of those things. As you and your significant other, your family, your friends, you want to make a trip down, my wife is going to hook you up. For a free quote today, visit MagicalJourneysVacations.com or simply click our link there at ProWrestlingCast.com, and she will hook you up. And now it's time for the promo of the week.
Pro Wrestling Cast, promo of the week.
Then I'm going to ask you the question. John Cena, will you marry me?
Nicole, I do.
Not ever want to marry you, because it will damage my brand. Don't you get it? My motto is hustle, loyalty, respect. Because I hustle the fans by pretending to be something I'm not. I'm loyal to myself and the people who do what I tell them to do when I tell them to do it, and I respect one thing, money. And all I want you to do is be by my side and make me look like a good person. And the second you don't, I will broom you into the gutter like everyone else who thinks I'm a good person. I always say, never give up. But that's not motivation for other people. That is a reminder that if I do give up my spot, a more deserving, a more talented superstar will take it. The day is coming at WrestleMania. The Miz and Maryse are going to humiliate us in front of millions of people, and I'll have no choice but to fade into obscurity. Do you think that I want you around after that as a reminder of my failure? I'm not gonna marry you because I don't love you. I only love myself. I'm not a real person, I'm a lie, I'm a ghost. You know why? Because you can't see me, because there's nothing here worth seeing.
John, I know you're watching.
Nikki, I know you're watching too.
We're gonna make sure WrestleMania is your curtain call. Because after we beat you, you're gonna realize that you have nothing left here. Oh, sure, you'll leave WWE thinking that you're gonna have a big career in Hollywood, but guess what, John? You're a circus act. Without WWE, you're just a big dumb animal wandering the streets. You're done. I hope you enjoyed your red carpets and your movie premieres.
Oh, and the kids' choice awards, because Nikki, let's face it, it's the closest you'll ever get to having kids with John Cena.
After WrestleMania, John, you're no longer going to be able to call yourself a man. And the whole world is going to know that your entire life is total.
That's me. That's my tribute to Owen Hart and his five-star match with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10. I don't know why that's a tribute to it, but everybody should know that's a five-star opening match. Very rare thing. WrestleMania 10, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best WrestleManias. All right, let's review a card that will not have two five-star matches on it, because there is no Owen Hart or Bret Hart, Scott Hall, or Shawn Michaels in clear sight. It looks like they're going to have something called the Andre the Giant Memorial J. Brown Battle Royal 3. We have The Big Show, Braun Strowman, Sami Zayn, Sami Callihan. I made that last one up. There's supposed to be some NXT entrants, so I'm sure they could put some NXT people in that they can throw out real quick. I think we'll all remember the, you know, fact that a mega push did not happen for anyone that's really won it yet. You know, the Big Show won. I think he had to go on a jobbing spree right after. And I guess Cesaro won it. And Christ, I don't remember who won it last year. Braun Strowman, maybe? I don't know. That's who I predict to win this year. Braun Strowman. He actually had a really good year. It was sad to see him job to Roman Reigns. And I know that made a lot of people upset, but I just want you all to know that I don't care about Braun Strowman's push. I think that's important.
It is time for the undercard. Me talking about my enthusiasm for WrestleMania 33, at least in a few spots. Probably a little bit more enthusiastic than my co-host is, being that he is a wrestling heel after all. I am looking forward to Neville and Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship, and I do believe they will put on a pretty decent show as well. And a big fan of Austin Aries. I'm just glad they finally decided to put him in to the mix. He was great as a color commentator, even better as a wrestling personality, if you will. Neville, I thought, has been a pretty decent heel as of late. Austin Aries, he does great heel work, so I don't know when that change is going to happen, but I do believe they're going to make an impact, pardon the pun, for WrestleMania, and I do believe that Austin Aries will become champion. Now, as far as the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is concerned, I don't know if that's going to be the case, if Braun Strowman is going to win or not, but I do favor him in that Battle Royal, so check that out. We'll see what kind of personality and what kind of debuts are going to happen during that time.
Aaron Neville against Austin Aries in a battle of the jazz singer. Aaron Neville versus Aaron Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship match on the kickoff show. Who cares about the kickoff show? You know, the 205 Jive crew's been pretty much just a bunch of jive. It's just been that. The Cruiserweight Classic, as I said, was my favorite show of last summer. And Cruiserweights like Kota Ibushi and Swan, you know, blew me away with some really great matches to see on the network. And now I have this 205 Jive crap. And this is probably about as good as they could get, Austin Aries versus Neville. So kudos to them for booking the best match that they could think of. But I just have a hard time caring about this stuff. They always deliver a 2.75 to 3.5 star, you know, match of some type on the shows. And I just don't get it. This doesn't remind me like it should of WCW 96, 97 with Ultimo Dragon and Dean Malenko and Guerrero and Psicosis and Damian even, you know, and all those great wrestlers being an integral part in the undercard and the midcard of the show by doing something completely different and really interesting. These matches are just not that good. If they're going to have a Cruiserweight match, it has to be superior. Now, maybe these guys will have the match of the night. I know all of you internet pieces of shit want to think that, but to me, they're just going to have a standard low card opening match kind of thing. They're probably not going to do anything, so I don't predict a lot for this show. I'm sorry, I don't predict a lot for this match on the pre-show. Alrighty, Alexa Bliss against all the available women in the women's championship match. I don't really know what to say about this one. I'm not a big Bliss fan. I know Mr. Go thinks she's fine at her work, and you know, I guess you have to push somebody young and new. I don't really know what to say. Hopefully we'll see, you know, we'll see Becky Lynch win the belt back. If she doesn't win the belt back, then I don't really see the point of any of this at all.
Now, in terms of the women, SmackDown Women's Championship is concerned, Naomi made her return, which was great. My wife and I were happy to see that. I've actually been a really big fan of the SmackDown Women's roster as of late, proving that they do have a lot of depth in there with the likes of a Becky Lynch, and Alexa Bliss is doing great work. I know that Steven's not a fan. Okay, Natalia's doing okay. We also have Carmella in the mix as well, and not to mention the fact that Mickie James has returned, and who knows what kind of mystery opponents are going to show up during that time. There's been rumors that Eva Marie might even be there, even though it's unlikely. Also, Kelly Kelly, maybe Tamina Snuka might return. The fact of the matter is that we could very well have a brand new woman actually win for WrestleMania, who may be making her debut, and it may be a returning women's wrestler. Maybe it's a diva. Who knows? But, you know, we might have a couple people make entries there, or maybe even make an NXT debut in terms of Asuka. You never know. But even though I would like to see Naomi win the championship, I do believe it may be a new woman that we have not seen yet win the SmackDown Women's Championship title, which would be great as we go into a brand new season of SmackDown on Tuesday Night Live.
Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus Enzo Amore, Big Cass, versus Cesaro and Sheamus. This has the potential to be a really good match, but they're not going to give it a lot of time. It'll probably be the second match on the entire show. That's just a prediction. It'll probably go 5 or 6 minutes. It'll be woefully, you know, just cut short on time, especially if it goes later in the show. It might be a dead spot match where it's given a dead spot in between some of the bigger mains. So I don't really know if this is going to get anywhere or do anything for anybody. But, you know, again, another match to get the guys in the show. The Bullet Club, is that what they're called? The Bullet Club has not had a good year. Enzo and Cass has obviously been one of the bright spots of Raw and shows that NXT could actually make huge stars coming out of the shoot that work on Raw. And then, of course, Cesaro Sheamus, which is, you know, two skillful guys, you know, not being used to the best of their ability, but at least they're on the show. So this match, if you give it 15 minutes, could be good. They'll probably give it 6 or 7 minutes. That's my prediction.
In terms of the Raw Tag Team Championship Triple Threat Ladder Match, I tell you, man, Sheamus had got one killer injury with all those stitches, upper, you know, part of his eye. You know, luckily for him, it didn't turn out to be one of those M&M ladder matches where, you know, he got hit in the head and maybe he had a, you know, horrible orbital socket injury or detached retina or whatever, man. So good looking out. But this should be very interesting. I had a sneaking suspicion that there would be a ladder match at this year's WrestleMania. So let's see if we can't give some validity to the club. Anderson and Gallows being the Raw champions, I hope they actually win at that point. Find a way to win. And maybe during the next draft, reunite with AJ Styles, no matter what brand AJ happens to be at, so that we can get an awesome club running roughshod over the entire roster in the WWE.
And another match I want to review that's in the early stages of WrestleMania's card is Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. I don't really know what to say here. I would honestly, if I were the booker, just put over Baron Corbin clean and squash Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is a failure. Dean Ambrose made it to the top, and he's been failing ever since. He's been retrogressing ever since he won the title and then went on that Stephen Austin podcast. Stephen Austin is how I call him because we're close personal friends, and that's actually how you say his name. And Stephen Austin destroyed Dean Ambrose. He literally crippled the man. And I want to see Baron Corbin give him the Corbin Slam, his big finisher, and win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
Baron Corbin versus Dean Ambrose for the IC Championship, Intercontinental Championship. This is going to be interesting. I think Baron still has a lot to learn, even though he is showing some growth. Dean starting to show a little bit more personality, what he should have been doing after Stone Cold kind of derailed him earlier in the year during his live podcast show interview, if you will, as we talked about ad nauseum on this program. So I do believe Dean will get his WrestleMania moment and retain the belt, but hopefully there'll be post-match shenanigans where at least Baron Corbin still looks strong.
My God, there's 13 matches on this frickin' show. I'm trying to... Okay, Count Floyd here. No, Stephen Anthony, my fake name here. I'm going to go ahead and go through some of the more important matches on the WrestleMania card that is not the two, what I would deem main events. Let's start with Chris Jericho against Kevin Owens. Here is something that's been cleverly put together. We all enjoyed the Festival of Friendship. We've all enjoyed Chris Jericho's act. You know, none of us really enjoyed Kevin Owens losing the title the way he did. And I, on a personal level, didn't think Kevin Owens did a very good job as champion. I thought he was wonderful in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I thought he was wonderful in Ring of Honor. I thought he was wonderful in NXT. But Kevin Owens is not a main event level WWE guy. Kevin Owens would also fail as world champion of New Japan, I assure you. You know, it's just a different little bit of a level there that these guys are at. And I know that Triple H wants to be the indie darling guy and all that crap. But, you know, it just didn't work. The experiment didn't work. And, If it would have worked, he'd be in a bigger match than this. Now, Chris Jericho, here's a guy that was probably supposed to stay for maybe 3 to 4, 5, 6 months, ended up staying a year and a half. He's done all kind of cool stuff. He had probably one of the best years of his career. You know, to me, let me just say this as a side note, because I only have 95 matches to review, but let me just say this as a side note, that WrestleMania is the kind of the season itself. So to me, the wrestling year for WWE starts in April and ends in late March, like this, or, you know, April, whatever it is, 2nd. It really does start and end with WrestleMania. So you say, you know, Chris Jericho's season started, you know, right after he pinned AJ Styles. Okay, now if we look back at that booking, if we look back at how they booked Chris Jericho to clean pin AJ Styles, then what AJ did after that, and, you know, him feuding with the, who's the janitor guy? You know, the short guy. James Neville. James Ellsworth, that's it. I was confusing him with Aaron Neville, the jazz singer. If we look at everything AJ's done and Chris Jericho's done in that year, that booking was logical looking back. And Chris Jericho's had a fantastic year. And really, to be honest, he deserves to pin Kevin Owens clean. So I'm rooting for Jericho to pin Kevin Owens here because I like Jericho. He's had a fantastic 10 years here. He's certainly not a good singer, but he likes Halloween. And anybody that respects Halloween's fucking cool.
Another great match I do believe that will be happening will be Owens versus Jericho for the United States Championship. Chris Jericho has been once again doing awesome work, and so is Owens in terms of the mic. Not so much showing off too much wrestling skills as last pay-per-view. You know, Owens went up against Goldberg, losing his Universal Championship, if you will. So I do believe this one will be a barn burner. I am looking forward to this. I believe Jericho, I hope Jericho actually wins to have his WrestleMania moment with a great match. Just because I am a Jericho fan, this is not me just, you know, talking about the podcast, although it is foreseeable that Owens will get the championship. But I believe that if Jericho gets his WrestleMania moment, he's able to kind of rewrite history books, because there's so many of his matches that are not going to be promoted for many reasons. But, that we could get into. But at any rate, hopefully he will retain the championship and get his WrestleMania moment, and Kevin Owens will perhaps beat him on Monday night.
The women's four-way match, Bayley versus Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax, who is, by the way, The Rock's cousin. Well, I think they're setting this all up. Everybody's talked about how perplexing the booking of Bayley and Sasha has been. I really think they, you know, somebody up there, somebody who maybe owns the company and runs it, doesn't like Bayley and Sasha. I don't know how else to put it. I think Vince doesn't like Sasha because she takes chances. I think she takes chances like Manami Toyota and all those great wrestlers like that, or Anaja Kong, you know, and it scares him to death. And with Bayley, I just don't think he understands the act. I just don't think he gets it, where people like her. You know, she's a good positive person, a good positive character for his, basically satanic company. And, you know, maybe he just doesn't get that. I think this is all being built around the idea of putting Charlotte Flair over and over again. He just likes Charlotte Flair. She really is like a female Ric Flair. I mean, she looks like it. She has the same name. She has the same music. She has the frickin' belt over and over. I think that's what this is. This is to christen Charlotte Flair and to give the rub, to make The Rock feel better. Because we must be very kind to The Rock. We don't want The Rock to be angry. We don't want The Rock upset in any way at us, is kind of what they think. And, here's your cousin. What is she, his niece, his nephew, his niece? Is that his, I don't know what they're related, okay? And she's going to be in the match.
And the Raw Women's Championship, I believe that they've did so many missteps in booking of the Raw Women's Fatal 4-Way match, bringing Nia Jax into the mix, having two kind of heels and two faces into the mix. But I believe that the women deserve more. They deserve to be, not to have so many women thrown into the match. If women's wrestling does matter, I believe a one-on-one match is warranted from one of the sides, and they should have done maybe a three-way on SmackDown, maybe a one-on-one match on Raw, and it is what it is, folks. It is what it is. Someone has to be on pay-per-view. Someone doesn't have to be on pay-per-view. Something has to happen. Maybe a number one contenders match for the pre-show is what they should have gone, and they would have been okay. But hopefully Bayley will come out on top and have the moment that she needed. And you know, they screwed up by having Charlotte trying to put, you know, take away that pay-per-view streak and basically dismissing that and putting that on TV, you know. And she should have had the higher stakes there by having her streak against Bayley at that point, and having Bayley have her crowning achievement at WrestleMania. In my opinion, that would have been the way to go.
John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse. How exciting. This is, of course, the John Cena Memorial Proposal match. So John Cena is supposedly going to propose to Nikki Bella after this match, after playing a heel boyfriend on the Total Divas show, which is outstanding and easily the best character John Cena has ever portrayed. The stern boyfriend who wants the animal control people to pick up a dog who barked too much, and also commands Daniel Bryan when to eat his food at his dinner table. Things of that nature that I find funny and most hilarious, really, about John Cena is this idea that he's dating this, you know, let's be honest, she's a hoe, okay? And he, you know, the idea is the hoe wants to be a housewife and have John Cena's money, but Cena's cold as ice and won't let it happen. So this is almost like a Total Divas accomplishment, this match. And if he does propose to her after the match, it'll be a wonderful WrestleMania moment. It'll probably be the best thing that happens on WrestleMania if they do it right. Honestly, if they do it right, this will be the best thing in WrestleMania. So am I expecting a five-star match at the level of Kawada or Dr. Death Steve Williams versus Kobashi? Not exactly, but I am expecting there to be a cool moment. And just remember, John, you cannot turn the hoe into a housewife.
Probably one of the best build-ups to a WrestleMania match is going to be Cena and Bella versus Miz and Maryse, based on real-life goings-on, if you will. A little bit of reality, of course, being very professional as they are, cutting awesome promos over the last couple of weeks. Once again, Miz is doing the best mic work of his lifetime there, and I believe making Talking Smack a must-see show on the WWE Network. They're doing great. And that also, I'll also give props to Cena and Nikki Bella as well. But I will say this, John Cena is very robotic. Once again, with the weird kissing that's going on in the ring. He looks uncomfortable with it. They look uncomfortable with it. Not as natural as Miz and Maryse do. It doesn't look forced, but the kissing is very, very awkward. And you know it's awkward when your wife says something about it. And I agree with her. So do I believe that John and Nikki will win? I believe they will. And I believe it may even result in some type of proposal. But I do hope that Miz and Maryse find a way to attack John Cena afterwards to write him off TV, as I believe he's going to be filming a movie after that.
Shane O'Mac versus AJ Styles. I was so delighted to learn this would not be a Falls Count Anywhere or ladder or tables, ladders, and chairs match. Would in fact be nothing more than a rugged amateur wrestling styled match, which is perfect. So now AJ Styles, who is, you know, really just a high spot guy, will have to curb his style and do straight up catch as catch can wrestling, Greco-Roman style, if you will, with Shane McMahon, who, you know, one reminds one of not just the great psychologists and straightforward ground and pound wrestlers like, I don't know, like say a Ole Anderson or a Steve Regal in more recent years, or a Larry Zbysko or someone like that, you know, but really all the way back to the guys like Lou Thesz and Carl Gotch. So I think that Shane McMahon's near Olympic training of amateur wrestling will make this easily a five-star match. He probably could tap out Minoru Suzuki in a shoot fight, and he probably would kick Steve Blackman's dog so hard that Steve Blackman would cry blood.
And the match that Corey Graves says that he wasn't definitely not looking forward to, Shane O'Mac versus the phenomenal one AJ Styles. Although I do believe this one is going to be a very good match. I believe they're going to try to recreate some of the magic of an Angle versus Shane McMahon type match in some way, even though this is a traditional wrestling match. I'm not personally looking forward to that. You know, I'm looking forward to always seeing AJ Styles because you know, he is the best. He is awesome. So not really sure how that's going to work out. AJ is, you know, hopefully going to win and make fans happy and maybe gaining the respect of Shane McMahon. We'll see what happens there.
Triple H versus Seth Rollins is next, I think. You know, I don't really have anything to say about the match. I don't know how hurt Rollins is. I know they'll have all the stops pulled out for this. So that's, and by the way, the reason the Shane McMahon-AJ match is not, the reason I think they're not calling it a false count anywhere match is because they don't want you to get excited about some big pratfall. They don't want, Shane's not going to do a big pratfall. And one of the reasons he's probably not going to do that is they're saving it for the Reigns match, and they're saving it for this match because they got to pull out all the stops because Triple H is special, okay? And again, this match is another example of how sad they really are. Who is in the big matches here? Lesnar, Goldberg, Randy Orton, he ain't too young, Undertaker, Triple H, Shane McMahon, AJ Styles, who I believe the first time I saw him wrestle was 16 years ago, John Cena, you might have heard of him, Chris Jericho, who I saw wrestle in 96, I believe, for the first time. I mean, there are a lot of old dudes on this card, you know, all the way down to the Big Show. They have a lot of older guys on the show, and they're carrying the weight. So this is what I think. I don't really have any, I hate Seth Rollins as babyface character, but here's my idea. You ready? Seth Rollins jobs to Triple H. Yeah, son. I would literally cry blood if Triple H were to pin Seth Rollins with the pedigree. I would never stop laughing. I would laugh forever and ever more. And all of you would be so upset, you pieces of internet garbage. All of you would be so sad. Seth Rollins lost. He was supposed to be pushed. And then, I said that like Terry Funk. And then what happens? Triple H pins him with his pedigree and then goes into another 1 year of exile. I'm only saying that because I want bad things to happen.
So how about this? No disqualification street fight where there are no rules with Triple H versus Seth Rollins. That's going to be interesting. A free-for-all. And I predict that maybe Rollins will come up on top, maybe with some shenanigans. Who knows? Seth is supposed to be the uber face in this one. We shall see how that goes.
Randy Orton, you may have heard of him, taking on Bray Wyatt. Now, at this point, I began to realize, because I've reviewed almost every match on my mind, that the WrestleMania is going to maybe suck. I haven't seen any standout match. I'm looking at every match. I mean, honestly, the match that has the best chance of being great is probably AJ against Shane McMahon. How terrible is that? Besides Owens Jericho, which they're probably not going to give a whole lot of time to. So here we are with Bray Wyatt against Orton. This match has a chance, a glimmer of hope, as we all know, the Satanist Randy Orton set Bray Wyatt's barn on fire, and one of his horses was stolen. I got to tell you, I really like these SmackDown angles lately. The masks, the fires, the... You know, I understand that Bray Wyatt, his sister is in an urn that gives him strength. Or maybe it was somebody else. I can't really remember. All that being said, I don't like that schlocky stuff. And look, I love nothing more than those old, cool Undertaker Mankind stuff from 1996. And, you know, all that dumb... I mean, I didn't really like the Russo fictions and all that crap. But I did think a lot of the supernatural stuff's cool. So I don't really hate this. They've probably built this match up longer than any other match, if you think about it, except for Goldberg-Lesnar. But, you know, I'm just not getting up for it maybe like I should. But that being said, they should have a pretty good match. I mean, Randy Orton, as much as I hate to say it, does deliver on big matches. He's not that terrible. I've seen him have some stinkers in strong positions before. You know, he had a ho-hum match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He had the Triple H match, which I think that was poorly booked at the WrestleMania from 2010. But, you know, Orton should bring it, so maybe this match is good. I don't really know. I'd just like to say that, you know, I'm predicting this WrestleMania to not be as good as last year's, and I didn't like last year's. But, you know, what you need is some matches to come out and surprise you. You need Neville against Austin to be awesome. You need Jericho against Owens to be awesome. You need Undertaker and Reigns and Goldberg Lesnar to have a miracle. You need Orton and Wyatt will be solid. Rollins and Triple H will actually probably be solid. And so you see what I'm saying? It's a bunch of middle-of-the-road matches. You got everybody on the show. You have more people on this freaking show than I've ever seen. Like, you look at WrestleMania 12, they got like 12 guys probably showed up at the building to wrestle total. And now on this show, you got like, I don't know, 642. So, you know, I'm just sad Samoa Joe's not on it. Finn Balor's not on it. Shinsuke Nakamura's not on it. Disappointed with you, WWE. You blew it again. But that's what you get for being evil. So here we are again, another WrestleMania main event. We basically have two matches that are going to co-headline in my eyes. And as of right now, a couple of days before the actual show, some signs are pointing to the idea that Taker Reigns will actually end the WrestleMania card instead of Goldberg Lesnar, which has been a long built up, actually pretty well booked aside from the Owens match, pretty well booked angle with some, you know, some surprising matches finish wise, as well as some pretty darn good promos from Bill Goldberg, of all people. I would say the Goldberg-Lesnar match, if it's not going to be slotted last, we already know that it was all set up from the beginning for Lesnar to win this match. It was Lesnar's idea to have Goldberg basically squash him in the initial Survivor Series match. I will say, I bet that was a Paul Heyman idea. That's classic Paul Heyman. Here you got a guy that's in his 50s, he hasn't wrestled for 20 years, never was a great worker. You have him coming in basically through a video game deal. You have Brock Lesnar, who, you know, had a pretty subpar year. He had the Ambrose main event at Mania. He hadn't had the belt for a while. He hadn't really been in the title picture like he was in 2015. What do you do to spark interest? Well, you do a shocking squash match. This is so Heyman of him. He probably convinced Lesnar to do it. He probably said to Lesnar, hey, this is how we get some heat on you. This is how you win the belt back in glorious Brock Lesnar fashion. So the question is, what are they going to do here? What they're going to have to do, they're going to have to actually do a match. And the match is going to have to go 7 or 8 minutes. Now, I'm having nightmares still from the match I saw in 2004 with Lesnar and Goldberg, with Steve Austin as referee hiding in the corner to not be seen, and with the crowd going absolutely apeshit, turning on both of them. It was something a sociologist could, watch and analyze to see about crowds and the things that they can do to events. That match kind of started off the whole trend of the crowd taking over the match, which is basically, over the past 10 years since then, 10 or 12 years, risen to such a high level that they basically own NXT and made NXT into something it really even wasn't ever before. That being said, they can't have a match like that again, but it's going to actually be harder than it was then if you really think about it. Lesnar isn't quite the worker he was back then, although he's refined his style into this, you know, sort of MMA shooter term, comes back to WWE guy, suplexing people, this and that. Goldberg has looked extremely poor on anything I've seen him do physically. He barely got up people for the jackknife or jackhammer, whatever you call it. I was going to say jackknife powerbomb. Kevin Nash should be in the main event. No, he's looked pretty weak on anything I've seen him do physically. So I'm going to have the same prediction for this match that I did around Survivor Series, and that's that, you know, the match will be pretty poorly wrestled. I do see Lesnar winning, and I do see the crowd popping huge for the finish. I don't know how you book this, okay? I don't know how you book this. You're going to need a Bill Watts or an Eddie Graham to come in and figure this one out. But I will commend Goldberg. If this is the end of the run, which it seems like it is because this is the end of the contract, if I'm not mistaken, I will commend Goldberg. It was an excellent run. He turned a lot of heads with his, promos. His crowd reception was phenomenal. People still love him. And he played a good guy in dark times, Daddy. So I will give him all of that. I just don't think this match quality will be there. Now, could they create a WrestleMania moment, kind of like The Rock and Hogan did? Possibly. But I gotta think this is a little bit played out at this point. So maybe this is ending right at the right time. As for Reigns versus Taker, I'm also worried about this match. Now, the word is that The Undertaker is looking pretty fatigued back there. If he honestly looks very tired in his promos. His face, he looks like a tired man. He had a lot of trouble doing stuff at Royal Rumble, which is basically people running into his fist. Nothing more than that. You know, it'd be the same thing that El Gigante would be expected to do in 1993. And he's still felt bad coming to the backstage area. So, you know, I think I'm a little concerned because Reigns actually has had a streak of 4-star matches, which is quite frankly about as high as you can get for a WWE main event if you're a New Japan person like me, unless you're AJ Styles, of course, who is the man and will always be the man at actual wrestling technique and the idea of putting on a match. That being said, Reigns has always showered and given all of these gimmicks to work with. If you think about every match he's had on a pay-per-view, it could be a fast lane, it could be a road to fast lane, or a roadblock backwards to fast lane. Small pay-per-view, it could be a big pay-per-view like a Royal Rumble or a Mania or a SummerSlam. They protect him. They protect him with tons of, you know, kind of like ECW-esque table gimmicks. You know, those are reserved for him. High spots, all of this stuff. So this match with, you know, with an Arn Anderson agent, maybe, or maybe like a guy like a Michael Hayes, somebody really good behind it, would probably be able to figure out something. The Undertaker is a very, very, very smart guy. He's always risen to the challenge, except for that big boss man match. He's always risen to the challenge to come up with a match. He has the card. He has the stack of cards against him. The deck is stacked against him. That is what I'm trying to say early in the morning here. He has it truly stacked against him. Will he rise to the occasion? I don't know. He's an old guy. You know what I mean? He's an old man. He can't do it anymore like Terry Funk. So maybe they need to pull out all the stops like Terry Funk. Maybe they need to pull out the flaming branding iron, so to speak, on a WWE level. They need to have the ladder involved somehow. They need to have the table. They need a couple of chairs. They need for this to somehow, if this is really closing the show, this shit needs to go 20 to 30 minutes. Bell to bell, it's going to have to go 18 minimum. Okay. Now, The Undertaker has great psychology. He's one of the best at it. Great stalling facial expressions. So maybe he can pull it off. I don't know. These two main events for WrestleMania, I'm pretty worried. I think they're going to fail. That's just how I feel.
Last but not least, and from what I understand, we'll be closing out the show, Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. Will this be a passing of the torch? I believe it may, for good, bad, or indifferent. Who knows what the dead man's going to do, and who knows how good Roman Reigns will be if he's able to help The Undertaker along. The Undertaker will be able to help him along. We shall see. Will this be the dead man's last match? Maybe his last WrestleMania? Perhaps. But I believe that the Reigns push will continue with Roman Reigns beating The Undertaker. I hope you enjoyed our analysis and our picks for WrestleMania 33. Don't forget to check in next week. Steven and I will return, hopefully back in the same place, talking and interacting with each other. We do appreciate you supporting our Pro Wrestling Cast podcast and webcast over the past couple years. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media, PWrestlingCast on Twitter, ProWrestlingCast on Facebook. You can use all of our shopping links to support our show, Amazon. We've got our Amazon links on there. You also have our links to MagicalJourneysVacations.com. So please like, share, subscribe to our show, and support us using our shopping links, and we would appreciate it. On behalf of Mr. Stephen Anthony, our heel commentator, I'm Al John Go. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.